You may be seated. We're going to go to Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3, we're going to be sharing the subject of dialed in. So ask yourself this question, are you dialed in? Hallelujah. Are you dialed in to God's channel and God's frequency? So we're going to talk about hearing God today. One of the most important aspects of your life and living life to the fullest as a Christian believer is hearing from God. Amen. And so, unfortunately, too many Christians have spiritual earwax, or they're hearing other things, or they're on the wrong channel. And so we want to encourage you to get on the right channel, to get dialed in to God and tune out all the things that are not from God. And so in 1 Samuel 3, verse 1, we see, I'll just read it off the screen here. It says, "Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass that at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of the Lord was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, 'Here am I.' So he ran to Eli and said, 'Here am I, for you called me.' And he said, 'I did not call. Lie down again.' And he went and lay down. And then Samuel called yet again. The Lord called yet again, 'Samuel.' So Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, 'Here am I, for you called me.' And he answered, 'I did not call, my son. Lie down again.'" See what's going on here, right? "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him." Now notice, he was serving the Lord and learning about the Lord, but he did not know the Lord because he didn't know his voice. All right, and number 8, verse 8, "And the Lord called Samuel again a third time. So he rose and went and said, 'Eli said, Here am I, for you did call me.' Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy." "Therefore Eli said to Samuel, 'Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.' So Samuel went and laid down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at the other times." Now notice he's using the word twice, his name twice. "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle." All right, so we're going to start right there, but you can read through the whole chapter, and you can see that this was the Lord calling Samuel, but this was the first prophecy that Samuel received in his office as a prophet of the Lord. There are other times in the Bible there was what we call biblical silence between Malachi and Matthew that was 400 years, it is said, of biblical silence. When nobody heard from God. There were times when Abraham, when he missed God and went off frequency and went with the flesh instead of with the spirit, he had to wait 14 years before he heard from God again. So the question I'm asking this morning, are you dialed in? We see in this account, secondly, Samuel did not know the Lord, even though he learned about the Lord since he was at birth. He was dedicated to the Lord. But he didn't know him. The third thing we see out of this, that God's call to Samuel came with greater intensity each time. Calling his name twice is a signal of a crucial moment. When he called Saul on the road of Damascus, he said, "Saul, Saul." That was a crucial moment. Anytime God calls your name twice, he's getting your attention urgently. It's a pivotal point in your life. He called Abraham twice. Abraham, Abraham. When he's about to kill his son. He had to stop. Critical, crucial moments. So it's imperative and important in the three, these times and days that we recognize and respond to God's voice. He is talking to you. Some people wonder, is God quiet? Is he hard of hearing? Why doesn't he answer? See, we can't afford to stumble around and stagger around or drift into spiritual darkness where things get very dim, hard to see, dense, cloudy, and confusing, or deaf, hard to hear, where we're hitting and missing it, so to speak. We need precision. So there are some spiritual hearing aids that we want to submit to you this morning to help keep you dialed in. Because you can see, even from the picture we got before you in your handout, you can be dialed into the world. Some people are so caught up with the world and tuned into the world. Some people can be caught up with what the enemy's doing, because that's all they're talking about. Not what the Lord's doing, what the enemy's doing. Some people can be dialed into their flesh and being moved and motivated through the impulses and cravings of their flesh. Or some people like gossip. They always want to get into the gossip train. That's not a good train to get on. And then, of course, media. Media is so powerful. And so people say, so plugged in to what everybody's saying on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and of course, YouTube and listening to the news. Most of it's fake. Amen. And so you don't want to be dialed into that. So in John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep hear what? My voice. And I know them, and they follow me. So we must start from a posture of faith. I know the Lord's voice. That should be your faith statement. Believe by faith that God is talking to you. When we read the word and hear the word preached or taught, we should preface it with our faith saying, the word of God is God talking and speaking to me. Everybody say it with me. Say, the word of God is God talking to, speaking to me. The Holy Spirit will help me hear clearly. You got to say, the Holy Spirit is helping me hear clearly. Say it with me. The Bible is God talking to and speaking to me now. Now, these are three prominent hearing aids, not the only ones, but three prominent ones. Let's pay attention to them. First, the Word of God. Some people are looking for a manifestation for God to come down and speak in an audible voice. Thus said the Lord. But you're hearing from God right now. Because God and his word are one. And the word of God, the voice of God, created the word of God, which we have in print, that could be spoken again. You want God to speak to you? Read the Bible. The word of God is God talking to you. Amen? We cannot get into the trap of, I don't hear anything, or I've been trying to hear from God. Because you give the enemy reinforced help to reinforce your unclarity. Amen. The voice of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there to help guide you and lead you and help you in many wonderful ways. And then the voice of your conscience. Everybody say, my conscience is the voice of my spirit. So your voice has functionality in three major areas. One of them is conscience. We often say feelings are the voice of your body, reasonings are the voice of your mind or your soul, but conscience is the voice of your spirit. You've heard the phrase, let your conscience be your guide. In other words, you've got to listen to your conscience. What is your conscience doing? It has a function. Your conscience must be clear. Your conscience must be pure. Your conscience must be good. Amen. So as you do the health check on your conscience, you should be clear. You should be pure. It should be good. Because those are your guides. That helps guide you in the right manner. Acts 2:24-16 says, a conscience without offense toward God. Paul said, I strive always to have a good conscience without offense toward God or man. 1 Peter 3:6, having a good conscience. Peter talks about, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, have a good conscience. And 1 Timothy 3:9, Paul was telling Timothy by the Holy Spirit, holding the mystery of faith with a pure conscience. That means you're not holding the faith mystery, living by faith, living in the supernatural mystery from a position of manipulation and ulterior motivation. Because some people just grab a hold of keys and revelations to get personal gain. We're supposed to gain the kingdom. We're supposed to increase the kingdom. But most people run off, particularly like with the prosperity message, which is so needed and so important and valuable to have. It's a grace, but you appropriate it by faith. And so people say, well, I got that process and principle down, and I'm seeing and experiencing increase, but it's not for your personal benefit. You got to have a pure conscience that the reason I'm increasing is not so I can just have more, but so God can give me more so I can do more. So I can give more. Keep in mind, we have a choice to either be sin conscious, flesh conscious, hallelujah, unconscious. Or have a righteousness consciousness. Everybody say a righteousness consciousness. A righteousness consciousness is clear, pure, and good. See, condemnation, guilt, and shame are three major evil diseases of the conscience. Those are the devil's tools. Amen. The blood of Jesus has the power to purge our conscience. And see, when we look at the table, we reflect and say, okay, this is his body, but also his blood. His blood can purge our conscience, Hebrews says, from dead works. That means your conscience at times may need purging. Purge just simply means to clean or purify by separating and carrying off whatever is foreign, impure, or superfluous. The blood of Jesus has the power to separate the impurities. Amen. And carry out the trash. It means to clear from guilt, because some people are guilty. See, shame knocks you down, but guilt keeps you down. It keeps you away from gripping and going for the promises of God. Y'all here this morning. And so moral defilement, because when people get in a ditch or get into sin, then guilt and shame enter in. And condemnation, the devil begins, beating you upside the head. Why are you lusting? Why are you lacking in this area? And he's beating you up. But what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make you whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can clear you and cleanse you from the stain and the sting of sin and moral defilement? The blood of Jesus. Everybody say the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And see, our minds need to be washed, because he told us, when we come to this table, remember me. Remember what my blood did. There's nothing in you that the blood can't cleanse. There's nothing in you that the blood can't cure. There's nothing in you that the blood can't change or correct. It's liquid love out of heaven that will change you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So we need to remember him. So our minds need to be daily bathed with God's word. Why? Because the word of God has blood on it. In the Old Testament, we see Moses, and it says in Hebrews that when he had the testament, he said he sprinkled blood on it and said, "This is the blood of the covenant that God has joined unto you." Well, the New Testament is sprinkled and ratified and established with the blood of Jesus. And so when you get your mind filled with the word, that blood washes and cleanses and cures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 5 through 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and what? Peace. So there's two big differences there. You can be on flesh frequency, enemy frequency. Come on now, world frequency, and that's death. You're going to rewire your insides to not put a tree of life up, but to put a tree of evil and death up. Because the carnal mind is enmity, that means an enemy or hostile against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they who are in the flesh cannot please God. See, God is on spirit channel. We call it pneuma channel. If you were a dog, to hear the dog, whoo, 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 you got to be on dog channel. We're not on animal channel. We're not on flesh channel. God's not on flesh channel. And God's not on, dog channel or whatever. But God's on spirit channel. Amen. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Are you dialed in? Now listen, Isaiah 41 tells us that we ought to pause for the cause. 40:31 says, but those who wait on the Lord, wait on who? The Lord, shall renew their what? Strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. See, being too busy and being too tired can affect our ability to be sensitive to God's voice. The greatest enemy to good thinking and clear thinking is busyness and stress. When you're busy, it's difficult to settle down and focus. When you're tired, it's difficult to pay attention and listen. Psalms 46:10 tells us, be still and know that I'm God. So there are times when you have to exercise some stillness. Because he told the prophet of God, he said, I'm not in the wind, I'm not in the earthquake, I'm not in the fire, but I'm in the still small voice. That's where I am. And God talks to me, and I've heard other men of God say this. Sometimes he talks to you when your mind is quiet, when you're doing some of the most odd and unusual things, but you're at a state of peace and you're at a place of rest. And now God can speak to you because your mind's not cluttered with all the busyness and stress. There are three things that help us pause and engage in stillness and know that and hear God clearly. First one, commit to simplifying our lives. Man, you can cloud up and clutter up and confuse up your life. The author of complexity is the enemy. God, the Bible says God is not the author of confusion and disorder, but of order and peace. He's the author of peace and order. That means simple. When it's confusing, it didn't come from God. Hallelujah. So we got to stay single-mindedness in our focus and simplified in our life. Secondly, we get to live our life with margin. What is margin? Margin is the boundaries, the rest that is built into your everyday life. It's the space between our load and our limits. What's your load? Some of us believe the myth, which is a myth and lie, of multitasking. They say you're 40% less productive when you multitask. Because what you literally do is have to shut your brain off from thinking and focusing on one thing and shut it back on. And you're constantly shutting off and shutting on. You're trying to do three or four things at the same time. And he told Martha, this one thing is needful. He's got one thing for you to focus on. Margin is the gap between rest and exhaustion, the space between breathing freely and suffocating. We should not be suffocating. In other words, balance is the life key to life. Without healthy margin, we grow imbalanced and become overloaded and overwhelmed in life. Do you have margin? Are you going 100 miles an hour, 7 days, 365? Some people can never be still. That's a problem. He told us, be still and know that we're God, that he's God. Minimize stress-causing people in your life. You know the people that bring you rest and refreshing, and you know the people that bring you stress. We must manage and minimize disruptive and destructive people who we bring into our lives. See, the relationships that we embrace determine our outcomes and our outlooks in and on life. Because we look through the lens of our relationship. They often say, we're the average of the five closest people around us. And if you line up nine people and add a tenth person, nine people who are broke, guess who's going to be number 10? You are who you hang around. Woo, glory to God. See, who's in your life that is confusing and cluttering up the channel of God's voice in your life? Because they're always bringing the doubt, the fear, the frustration to cloud up and confuse you hearing clearly God's voice. Who is denying and defying your ability to dial in to God's frequency? So we got to get and stay on God's frequency. Let's read John 10, 27 again. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So in context of the shepherd of the sheep learn to live in total dependence. Everybody say total dependence on the shepherd. Not independent from the shepherd. We often say every sheep needs a shepherd. See, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And that voice never tells people to stay home, stay away, don't read your Bible. Come on now, don't tie, all that kind of, y'all know that stuff. But he completely trusts the shepherds for direction, protection, and provision, and has no backup plan to save himself. You know, God doesn't have plan Bs, Cs. We come up with that. Workarounds, God says, work my word. Do what I ask. Simple, right? Sheep are on the sheep and shepherd channel and frequency. They say about a shepherd in the Middle East, they said they'd watch a shepherd and he would make a certain distinct sound. And he could be traveling in a market area or marketplace with a lot of people around. But once he makes that sound, those sheep hear it. Their ears perk up, and they follow that shepherd. They see that staff. They know that voice. They follow that voice. And he could just be making a clicking or some sort of repetitive sound or something like that. And they hear that, and they know, that's my shepherd. And they'll line up like and herd up like ducks in a row almost and follow that shepherd because they trust him. They totally depend upon that shepherd. Y'all getting something out of this today? And see, we are told to beware of dogs. Man, there's dogs around. Peter said in Paul said in Philippians 3, 1 and 2, he said, beware of dogs. That was what we need to beware of dogs. Dogs aren't following God. Dogs doing what they want to do. Wolves are on the wolf's channel. Jesus told us that there are people that look like sheep, smell like sheep, even sound like sheep. But he said inwardly, they're ravening wolves. Paul said that they would come from the inside or come from the outside. Acts chapter 20. He said wolves are coming in. They're not coming to feed the sheep, they're coming to eat the sheep. They come to scatter the sheep. They're trying to devour the sheep. In other words, they're trying to take you in different directions other than the direction and the voice of God, your Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we often say the wolf represents the spirit of division. In other words, you got two visions. That means you're looking at this, and then the wolf come in and got you looking at this. And when you're supposed to be looking at this, which is the Lord, which is your shepherd, the Lord's direction, but you're looking at this. Who's got you bitten? Who's got you broken? John 16:13 says, however, when he, the spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into how much truth? All truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And that he will tell you things to come. In other words, we said it this way, truth never changes, but things do change. Truth is in the Bible. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word of the Lord is right. In other words, God's word is true, and it will never change. It is unchangeable. It's infallible. It is perfect in all its veracity. As the word of God, hallelujah, that never changes. But things do change. People come into our lives. People leave our lives. People defect and die off in our lives. Things change. But truth never changes. But the Holy Spirit is there to help you navigate through the things that do change and will change in your life. And so we've got to avoid overusing this phrase, these phrases, as much as we can. The Lord said to me, or the Lord spoke to me. Because sometimes we get overuse of that word, and we limit God to just speaking to you in sentences and commands or directions. Because we can paralyze or limit our hearing the Lord lead and guide us in other areas and by other means. Did you know? Listen to me very carefully before we continue reading that section. But did you know that there are two prayers God never answers? God never answers a prayer of something from him that he's already done. He'll never answer that. Some people want God to answer a prayer that he's already done. He's already said it in the word. There's some past tense scriptures where he said this has already been provided. Now you got to do something. You asking me to do something, but you got to do something. And God will never answer a prayer that he's already told you to do it. What to do. Now caveat that one with this. Sometimes people are looking for God to talk to them directly, but God says, I put the answer in your pastor's mouth. I put the answer in the word of God that's going to be taught to you this week or this Wednesday, and you got to hear that. You got to go hook up with that supernatural relationship so you can hear the answer that I'm giving to you through the word, the preaching and teaching of the word. And so we're still looking for God to say something. The Lord, I'm waiting for the Lord to tell me something. He's already told you something when he's preached to you. I can't tell you how many times, sitting at Rhema, sitting wherever, in the church under the anointed, we're preaching and teaching the word. Man, so when your ears are anointed, remember, there can be anointing on your ears. That means you got supernatural hearing. You can be tapped into utterance. Utterance is not dependent upon the speaker. Utterance is dependent upon the receiver, too. Because some people can be off channel and not wanting to hear. They would still want Jesus to come down and manifest and tell them, thus saith the Lord. But they're not hearing what the Spirit is saying to the church. So they limit and lose out on what God's telling them. Because they're not dialed in. Is this good?
Yes.
Amen. Don't restrict or limit the Lord and cause you to miss out on his leading and prompt as an inner witness that he's guiding and leading you. Don't put your word from the Lord just in the box. The Lord spoke to me. Because we can hear those phrases and we can lose sight of the perspective that God only talks to us when he talks to us like a human conversation. And so most Christians erroneously and mistakenly look to outward circumstances or to an audible or vocal word from the Lord instead of an inward witness from the Lord. The most way he leads us is through the inward witness. You got to stay dialed into your newborn, recreated human spirits. That's where your guidance, promptings, and leadings are mostly communicated. It's going to come through your spirit. Everybody say, my spirit. That's why you got to make sure your conscience is a good hearing aid. It's clear. It's pure. It's good. It's functioning that I have a good conscience. That's because your conscience is to also be your guide. You check with your spirit. Romans 8, 14 through 16 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption. That means you've been engrafted in. You've been legally adopted into God's family. Come on now, praise God. When we cry out, Abba, Father, that means he will talk to you. He will speak to you. He will minister to you. He will communicate to you as many ways and many times as he can. He's not an absentee father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen. There's a bearing of witness that we have to learn to discern. Amen. You have to learn to discern that. See, as New Testament Christians, we are to be led by the inward witness, inward promptings from the Holy Spirit to our spirit. We have to listen to our hearts. Everybody say, listen to your heart. Everybody say, follow your heart. Listen to what Colossians 3:15 says in the Good News Translation. It says, the peace that Christ gives is to guide you in the decisions you make. They say, well, on average, people make 100 to as many as 1,000 decisions a day. All of us are making decisions. When to get up. What to read. Or we're going to read it all. As far as... when to pray, what to say. You're making a decision what to eat, how fast to drive the car, what to put on. See, this spirit, this peace that Christ gave us is to guide us. We often say everybody has a joy and peace monitors. Peace is the monitor of leading and guidance. Peace will lead you. That's why we said honor. When honor and esteem leave, peace leaves. You have no peace. Your guidance system is out of whack. It's out of order. You have to have peace monitor and a peace thermometer, so to speak, a thermostat that can tell if this is God, the fruit of it will be peace in your heart. The sensation... the sensing of your spirit will be peace. You're going to buy a car. You don't buy a car with peace going all over the board. Your peace already going to chaos and confusion. You feel like you're under pressure. You feel like you're under duress. Well, you've violated your peace. For it is this peace that God has called you together in one body and be thankful. So your inner peace from the Lord serves as a monitor, an indicator as whether or not this is from God or someone else. Let's read another scripture in Samuel. We see Mr. Saul mess up. He missed it. Samuel died off. He's trying to go to battle. Now let's look at this. Then the Philistines gathered together and came and encamped at Shunem, and Saul gathered all Israel together, and they encamped at Gilboa. And when Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he looked at the circumstances. So he's on the circumstance channel for a minute. And he was what? He's looking at the need, looking at the lack, looking at the want. And his heart, what does his heart do? Trembled greatly. Man, when your heart's trembling great, you need to get back on God's channel. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not, what? God did not give us a spirit of what? Fear. But a power. When you're on fear channel or flesh channel, you're not on God's channel. You're not dialed into God's voice. neither by dreams. This is how he led them back in the Old Testament. Dreams. Urim was stones on the breastplate of the high priest, along with the thummim, they call it the epaulets, on the high priest's breastplate. They would tell and give guidance or direction when the high priest was standing in the office and inquiring of the Lord through sacrifice. He would light up that breastplate. That's the history. I'm not going into that. But, or by prophets, or the prophet would come and give a word. They didn't have the Holy Spirit advantage like we do today. Praise God. Now what's it? And then Saul said to his servants, find me a woman who is a medium. Now, he had just kicked them out of the country. So now he's looking for witches. Because I said, I can't see in the spirit realm. God's not even talking to me. So I'm going back to the enemy, to evil, to get guidance. So he goes to a witch that I might go unto her and inquire of her. And the servant said, in fact, there is a woman who is in the medium at Endor. Famously, they call the witch at Endor. And so Saul disguised himself. Now, he couldn't even come as king, as the man of God. He put on other clothes and went in, and two men with him, and he came up to the woman at night, and he said, please conduct a seance for me and bring her up for me, and I shall name to you. Bring up the one I was named. So this woman was famous for bringing dead bodies back up, or dead spirits back up. And then the woman said to him, look now what Saul has done, how he has cut off the mediums and spirits of us from the land. Then why do you lay snare for my life and cause me to die? I think that was it, right? So Samuel came up and told him some stuff. Go back to verse 8 for a minute. I think that's it. Yeah, so he gave her the name of Samuel. And then, of course, there's a lot of theological debate about was it really Samuel or another familiar spirit. There's kind of differing opinions on that. Nevertheless, he violated the process of God. And what do we do today? We don't hear from God. Wait a minute, I've been praying for 10 days. and he wasn't even an officer, a priest. So why is he using an ephod? So he's pushing all the levers. What do we do in Christendom? We push all the levers. Instead of get on God's frequency. And then he went back to witchcraft. Something that God forbidded and condemned. Are you listening to me? See, Saul dialed into the enemy's frequency when he didn't hear from God. And a tragic scene that too many people repeat and go back to. See, learning to trust the inward witness requires immediate quieting, tuning out at times the competing voices like the voice of our intellect. We find Proverbs tells us, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thy what? Own understanding. So sometimes we think we're alleging our own mind. We think that we know better. We think our logical reasoning is superior to everybody else's, so I can lean to that understanding. You might have PhD behind your name, but you still got to trust the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean to your education, your experience, or your expertise. Secondly, the voice of our desires. We want it so bad. We want to get it so bad. We said, well, we deserve this. We should get this. We want this. I got to have this. Now, we got to make sure that our desires are right with God. And the voice of feelings. See, our feelings and emotions can be loud and noisy, especially if we've been hurt or harmed in any way. Number 4, the voice of popularity. See, the kingdom of God and the way of God doesn't operate off of a majority rules or concept of popularity poll or popular opinions. Sometimes you can be talking to unsaved, backslidden family members, and they're telling you, don't do this, do this, and you fall for the popular vote. So here's some Tunim's tips as we close. Number 1, practice instant obedience. The Bible says we must hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord our God. When he says it's time to obey, it's not time to delay. When he speaks, it's time to obey. It's not to delay. See, delayed obedience is disobedience. Partial obedience is complete disobedience. We see God reject Saul as king and his whole family because he didn't obey fully and instantly. Hallelujah. Number two, get emotionally healthy. See, it's extremely important to never make decisions of quality from a posture of mental or emotional brokenness. In other words, when you're hurting, when you need help emotionally and mentally, you shouldn't go out handling a lot of money because you're going to make a lot of bad decisions. You never make good choices when you have a lot of money and you're emotionally or mentally broken. Don't shout, man. I'm preaching real good today. You're preaching real good today, Pastor. Hallelujah. He said, let all bitterness and wrath and envy, all these things be moved from you in Ephesians. Check your why. People may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their motives. Motives matter. God cares about the why before the what when it comes to the will of God for your life. Why are you doing this? Why am I doing this? Why am I going in this direction? God will tell you why. You got to check your why. Amen? Number four, live with now ears. Mark 4:23 says, in the Amplified Classic Version, says, if a man has ears to hear, let him be listening. Now, see, people in a room like this, and they have ears that can hear, but the key is be listening. Be dialed in. Be tuned in to what God's saying. In other words, be listening with an ear intent to hear. God told us even back in James 1:19, be swift to hear. See, we communicate more effectively when we are good listeners. Be a good listener. Clear out your minds and spiritual ears to hear with clarity in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, in every church in Asia Minor, the Apostle John in Revelations wrote by the Spirit and the direction of the Lord Jesus, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. That means get dialed in to God's frequency. Amen. So as the Holy Spirit is saying some things loud and clear today, as we reflect on this communion table, perhaps the Lord, the shepherd, is telling some of us to go back to the last orders and instructions. We're waiting for new ones. He's waiting for you to obey the last ones. He doesn't give new orders when you haven't done the old orders. God's very patient, and he's very just. He'll say, wait a minute, you didn't do the last thing I told you. You expecting to get a new word? No, when you do the last one and get the last one done, I'll give you a new one. Are you listening to me? So when he said, when we look at the table, the Bible says, let a man examine himself. So you got to examine, am I hearing on time and in time with the Lord? Because you got to judge yourself. I can't judge you because I got to hear him too. Are you listening to me? Am I obeying divine instruction that he has given me? Perhaps the shepherd is leading us to listen more, to learn more, to love more, and to lead better as husbands, as fathers, as wives, as mothers, as children, as employees, as supervisors or managers. Maybe God's telling us to submit and surrender and commit to obeying divine instruction instantly and intentionally. In other words, God has given us orders, and he says, I expect you to go do it. One of our instructors in Rhema tells a funny story. It's kind of funny, but it really is a profound lesson. He said him and another lady, Patsy Kinemanary, Keith Moore was the person. He's playing the piano, and Brother Hagin looked over. He said, once some of y'all got something, to sing. And so they were mouthing around. He's still closing up the service. And then about 3 minutes later, he looked over because they were still talking. No, you do it. No, they still delaying. And then he looked over. He said, if I would have told you to wait 5 minutes or more, I would have never said anything. And it was open rebuke right there at prayer and healing school. So Brother Moore changed his posture. And he said, when Brother Hagin told him, he said, you got something to sing? Even if he had just one word, he was running up to the stage. Because he knew, once I obeyed instantly, I get the rest of it. See, this is a by faith move. This is a by faith proposition. It ain't about telling your feeling. When God says do it, well, God, I don't feel like praying. Well, God, I don't feel like giving. God, I don't feel like. Come on now. How many times we say that? Hallelujah. So go back on God's frequency. Get dialed in. Get tuned into the voice of God. Pay attention to what God's doing and what God's saying today, this month, this season, and this year. Praise God. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah.